Please remain standing and pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, now, and I pray that you would open hearts and minds to the deep things of the Word of God this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give us receptive and tender hearts, Lord. And then I pray as we receive the Word of God planted within us that it would grow up to bear good kingdom fruit in our lives and in the life of Christ Church. Lord, grant me, the preacher of your Word, confidence in the Word that you've given me, courage to proclaim it, a tender heart to feed your sheep. And Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today in our calendar, and as a matter of fact, it's included in the calendar in the back of our prayer book. This is called World Mission Sunday, World Mission Sunday. And I don't think we've ever actually focused on World Mission Sunday per se. We've certainly talked about missions at Christ Church. We're a mission-sending church. But I don't think we've ever focused precisely on World Mission Sunday. But all through the ACNA, the Anglican Church in North America, people are observing this day as a day to focus on missions. So let me ask you, what do you think about when you think about mission? Is it the taking of the gospel to unreached people in different lands? Is it actively addressing the effects of living in a world that's marred by sin, such as feeding the hungry or clothing the naked or caring for the sick or visiting those who are in prison? Or maybe you think about sort of those missionary heroes like Saint Boniface, the apostle to the Germans, who in around the year 780, well, actually about 730 or thereabouts, went to those pagan Germans. They kind of regressed back to that a little bit, but they went to those pagan Germans, cut down their Thor tree, and when he wasn't struck dead by the gods, he was able to preach a message and converted those German people. Or maybe you think about William Carey, who's often called the father of modern missions, or Hudson Taylor, who started the China Inland Mission, had such great fruit there, or maybe Mother Teresa of Calcutta. However you think about this, typically, when we think about missions, listen, we think about it as the project and activity of the church. We think about missions in terms as being the project and the activity of the church. But in our gospel reading today, this is so important. Jesus situates mission in the person and activity of God, primarily. Jesus situates missions in the person and activity of God. God is the initiator of missions. And so we read this verse in John 20:21. We heard it this morning. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you," and here it is, "as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Now, there used to be, I think Chris may have taken it with him, I'm not sure. There used to be a flashing red light, like, you know, like on an ambulance or something. And we would take it out and we would put it right here on the pulpit. And it would be, and we'd turn it on and we'd say, "Warning, warning, theology ahead." And so, warning, warning, just imagine that light flashing. There is a theology of missions ahead. You know, in all of the writing about missions that I have read recently, the authors point to God's mission in the world, the Missio Dei, God's mission in the world, as being his project of redeeming and restoring his fallen creation. That's where the emphasis falls, is on redeeming and restoring a fallen creation. And that certainly is central to missions now. But here's the deal, and this is what we need to understand. Please listen. God was a missional God before humans ever rebelled and fell away. God was a missional God before humans ever rebelled and fell away. Mission is not just because there is something broken between God and humanity. Mission is not just God's response to a bad situation. No, mission existed before the fall took place. Here's what I mean. And here's where we're swimming to the deep end of the pool. You can put your floaties on if you need to. We'll be all right. But here's what I mean. God is perfectly and infinitely joyful and fulfilled in his own being. All right? God is perfectly and infinitely joyful and fulfilled in his own being. God does not depend on anything other than himself. God does not need anything other than himself. We call that doctrine, and it's true, it's in Scripture, the aseity of God. God is perfectly fulfilled and at joy within his own self. And within that inner life of God, within the unity of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always, each of those persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are always giving themselves away to the other persons of the Trinity in love. This matters. What I'm saying right now matters. And out of the superabundance of God's Trinitarian love, out of the outflow of his love, not because he depends on anything else, not because he needs anything else, but out of the superabundance of the Trinitarian Godhead's love, he creates something outside of himself, beyond himself. And in the mystery of that love, God brings into being something other than himself because it delights God to reach beyond himself in love. God creates human beings in his own image to order and to govern creation in order to direct it back in love towards its creator. That is a lot of... I just took the patristic dump truck of theology and backed it up and dumped it on you. So in one sense, the mission of God is embedded in the act not of redemption, but of creation. Wow. Who knew that mission was more fundamental than just God fixing our broken condition? You know, that means that mission is rooted in the outward focused attribute of God. You know, love. Mission is rooted in the outward focused attribute of God. Mission is as much an attribute of God as justice or mercy or holiness. Mission is the attribute of God's outwardness, his sovereign loving purpose. This is so good. His sovereign loving purpose to extend himself outward to bring all things back into unity with himself. And that's where we get Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. God making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather into one all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. God creates beyond himself to pull things back in love towards himself. But because of the brokenness of creation, and we're living in a fallen world, because of the estrangement of creation, especially humanity's estrangement from God due to our rebellion against God in the garden, God's outwardness takes on a whole new dimension. You know, that word mission comes from the Latin word meaning send, to send. Mission means to send. In John's gospel, Jesus refers to himself, and I went back and counted, so in John's gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the one sent from the Father. Jesus refers to himself as the one sent. Mission means send. From the Father, no less than 41 times. And most specifically, the Father sent Jesus on mission into the world to bring, in John's gospel it says, light and life. Light and life. Well, look at John chapter 12, verses... We're going to look at a lot of John, so we're going to scoot through John a little bit here. John chapter 12, verses 44 and 40 through 46. John 12, 44 and following. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Sent as light. But then in John 17, the great high priestly prayer of Jesus, John 17 verses 1 through 3, this is what it says. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Sent. I got to tell you, as I was reading that this stuff this week, as these things were coming together, it was blowing my mind. I hope you will have a similar joyful experience of this as we go through this. So why light and life specifically? Well, this is pretty cool. Go light and life. Why is Jesus sent to bring light and life? Why that? Well, if you go back to the prologue to John's gospel, John chapter 1, beginning at the first verse, this is what it says. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him," listen, "in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So what's going on here? John is obviously and intentionally, remember how we talked about mission and create, mission is embedded in creation? John is obviously and intentionally referencing the Genesis creation account. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Jesus is sent, here it is. Jesus is sent by the Father to be light and life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Genesis 1, what's going on in creation? God creates light and life. Here is the point. Are you ready? Jesus, in whom is light and life, is sent by the Father to bring about, what's all this creation language? He's sent by the Father to bring about a new creation. That is the missio of Jesus. That's the mission of Jesus. He is sent to bring about a new creation. That new creation is cosmic. In other words, Jesus is making all things new. The whole universe is being renewed by his incarnation, death, and resurrection. The shockwaves of Christ's incarnation, death, and resurrection are rippling out from that moment in time down to this day as we live between the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in Jesus, the beginning of that new creation in Jesus, and the consummation of the new creation in the end of the age. And we are right now catching waves of that even as we live together in church, at Christ Church, which is one of the reasons why, by the way, we have a healing ministry. It's not just because people get sick. It's because healing and restoration are a part of God's new creation. That's why we see the Isaiah passage being fulfilled. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive." That's good news, and it's happening right now as a part of God's new creation. But also, listen, this new creation mission is personal. Jesus makes people new creations. In John chapter 9, I told you we were going to be all over the book of John. Scripture is going to interpret Scripture. Sorry, the Reformation is happening here. In John chapter 9, when Jesus heals the man born blind, when he takes away his darkness and brings him into light, what happens? Let me read that to you. This is John 9, 5 through 9. Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud. Don't just stop right there. I don't know that I think mud would be good for blindness. Why would Jesus be making, what is Jesus doing? Well, when God made Adam, how did he make him? He made him out of the dust of the ground. God made a dirt man, a mud man, and breathed into him the breath of life. You see the creation and new creation coming together. And then he said to him, he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is not this the man who used to sit and beg? And some said, I think it's him. And others said, no, but it looks like him. But he kept saying, I am the man. Listen, Jesus is the light of the world, the light of the new creation. He sends the man to wash in the pool. Jesus is sent by the Father, and Jesus sends the man to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. I have always wondered, John, why did you tell me that? Why in the world did you need to tell me that the name of the pool means sent? It's wrapped up in missio, in mission. This is God's restorative mission in the world, the new creation mission. So listen what happens next. The man washes and he comes back seeing, and then what happens to him? The people who knew him all his life do not recognize this man. They knew him all his life. Why don't they recognize him? Why? Because he is a new creation. That's a new man. Jesus' mission is new creation of the cosmos, but it reaches into your life and my life too. He makes us new creations. When we repent of our sin, embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior, are washed in the new creation waters of baptism, we become new people. This, folks, we're playing with fire here. This is amazing. Thanks be to God. That's what the Father sent Jesus into the world to do. And that brings us to where we are this morning. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. As the Father, my being sent from the Father, that mission is now conferred upon you, church. We continue the mission of Jesus, who is sent from the Father to bring light and life. We are sent by Jesus to be the agents and embodiments of the new creation, where sin and sorrow and death will be no more. Mission means sent. And if we are sent, do you know what you cannot do if you are sent? You can't stay. If you are sent, you cannot stay. There is always an outwardly directed dynamic of going in a healthy church. There is always an outward dynamic of going in any healthy church. And that's certainly true of Christ Church. When you go and invite your unchurched or non-believing neighbor to come to Christ Church with you, I don't know why, maybe because you found Jesus here, maybe because Jesus is here every week. You know what you are not doing? You are not staying. You are a part of that outward going movement of God. You have crossed the boundaries of your comfort to extend yourself into someone else's life with the goal that they might become a new creation. You are at that point fulfilling your calling as one who is sent. You know, just this past year, God raised up Luke and Abby. Well, we're not being recorded on, we're not live, so we can say Logan and Aubrey. This sermon is recorded. Yeah, but we're not going to let anybody hear it. I'm not letting anybody hear this. So, they can listen to the first one. We sent Logan and Aubrey and their family from our church and sent them to a group of people in a distant and difficult part of the world who had never heard the good news about Jesus. He put a passion and a burden in their hearts for people they did not know. He made them love people. That's that outward movement of God. He made them love people that lived halfway around the world, and he sent them to offer the joy of God's new creation through the good news about Jesus Christ. And God keeps sending people out from our church. You know, we have a saying at Christ Church. We give away our best. we give away our best. And that giving and sending spirit, church, is one of the reasons that we have been such a healthy church now for going on 14 years. Please listen, if we ever lose our willingness to send and be sent, if we ever lose our willingness to send and be sent, that is the day that Christ Church will begin to die. If we ever lose that generous spirit of sending and being sent, that's when we go on the path of death. Christ Church sent out Tom Bost and a group of lay people years ago now to begin Church of the Good Shepherd. God sent out Keith Huffman and another group of lay people to plant Church of the Resurrection in Louisville, North Carolina. And then a couple of years ago, Christ Church was invited to help a group of people in Beckley, West Virginia, who were feeling called to start an Anglican church there. And almost before we knew it, Chris Bora had fallen in love with those folks, and they fell in love with him, and God sent him out to plant that church. And I'm still bitter about that. No, I'm not. Because Christ Church's outreach to West Virginia, the sending spirit we have directed there, is significant because God is using us to be a part of an amazing move of the Holy Spirit that is going on right now. I keep telling the guys who are there and doing church planting mission work, I said, you've got to write these stories down. I mean, we need to hear, these are amazing stories of what the Holy Spirit is doing among us. That move of the Holy Spirit started folks like Derek Roberts, started with folks like Derek Roberts, who after his one of his childhood friends, close childhood friend, had become another statistic in the suicide epidemic, Derek felt God calling him back to his home state that at one point he could not wait to get away from. In fact, the biggest export of West Virginia is people. People go, end up, if you can, you go to the University of West Virginia so you can leave. So you can leave. But God is changing that. God called Derek back and gave him, just a passion to be there. And just as God was sending Derek to West Virginia, groups of people all over that state started saying this. This is the most unusual phrase ever to be uttered in the state of West Virginia. I wish there was an Anglican church here. I mean, of all the flavors in the Baskin-Robbins ice cream store of God's denominations, why Anglicanism? It is a surprising move of God. Of all the ways of being a Christian, God is causing people to desire this way. You know, I felt that nudge as well. Back in November, I had a profound prompting of the Holy Spirit to help support the pastors and lay people who are a part of this move in, of the Holy Spirit in West Virginia. So I called Chris Bohr and I said, Chris, do you think that the pastors and emerging planters and the lay folks who are helping out with that church planting stuff would like for me to come and help equip them for mission? Come up there from time to time and help equip them for mission and church planting? Well, it turns out, even as I was mentioning that in a separate meeting with Bishop Steve Breedlove, those pastors and lay people independently asked if Ben Sharp would come alongside and assist them in this mission. I want to cry. Why? So in December of last year, Bishop Steve asked me to be the canon missioner for West Virginia, to catalyze planting new Bible-believing, gospel-saturated Anglican churches in that state. And in January, I accepted that call, and then just this past week, that position was approved by the Diocesan Council. And you know, we have already seen God at work in this new appointment. Back on Tuesday, February 8th, Derek Roberts drove Lisa and I to Morgantown, West Virginia. It's where the University of West Virginia is. To talk to a yokel, that's not Freudian at all. To talk to a local Young Life, okay? You can see how the consonants could get all mixed up in there. That is not, we're not recording this. to talk to a local Young Life leader and another Anglican pastor from the Harpers Ferry area of West Virginia, which in West Virginia is known as not West Virginia. So you got to be from West Virginia to understand that. But we went to talk to them about this emerging work of the Holy Spirit. And it was a productive meeting. It was a great meeting. I was really, really impressed with both those individuals, particularly the Young Life guy, who was not even Anglican, but he wants to see Anglican churches planted in West Virginia. But afterwards, Derek said that he needed a cup of coffee because it's, you know, 2.5 hour drive back down to Charleston, West Virginia. And so we went to a coffee shop where a friend of his named Rusty worked. And we went inside, and Derek got his coffee, and he asked if Rusty was around. And so, now, we had not planned this meeting, okay? We didn't plan to go to the coffee shop, but Derek's wanting to get something to keep him up while he drives us back, and they directed him to the roasting room. And so Derek goes to the glass partition in that coffee shop where the roasting room is, and he taps on the glass, only to see Rusty and then two other friends, a young woman named Cole and another young man named David, who Derek knew from university days 10 years ago, sitting there with Rusty in that room, okay? So we've got three people. There's Rusty, there's Cole, and there's David. And David, by the way, had not been in that coffee shop since March of the previous year, 11 months. He hadn't been there in 11 months, but he's there that day. So they motioned to Derek to come in, and this is what they said. Listen, y'all. They said, "It is so weird that you are here. Our church of 11 years just closed its doors, and we were saying, we wish there was an Anglican church here. Why isn't there an Anglican church in Morgantown? If we had an Anglican church, that's where we would go." Derek said, "Wait right there. I've got two people you need to meet." And then he fetched Lisa and I, and we had a wonderful conversation. Folks, what is going on? That's not like church planting at all. That wasn't difficult at all. And then they said, Cole said, "Oh, well, I have a lot of people that would be interested too. Why don't y'all come to my house and let's talk about planting a church in Morgantown, West Virginia?" So next month, March, we're going to Morgantown, West Virginia to meet with a bunch of people who want to start an Anglican church. We need to pray for God to raise up a church planter to go and serve those people. A new Anglican church just started by a genuine providential move of the Holy Spirit in a coffee shop in Morgantown. We didn't mean to do it. It just happened to us. Here's what this means for us at Christ Church. There's twofold significance. First of all, practically, what does this mean? Well, it does mean that a few days each month, I will be in West Virginia doing my work as canon missioner. And our diocese believes in this so much that they are going to compensate Christchurch with real money for my time. They're going to pay you for me to go to West Virginia. And you were thinking, how can we get rid of Ben? Somebody's going to pay you for that. God keeps doing amazing work. And Father Benji is going to be even more in a greater pastoral role for pastoral leadership at Christ Church. Great stuff. Good stuff. Spiritually, this is what it means. And perhaps most significantly, this means that Christ Church continues to be an outwardly directed church, obedient to Christ's command, sending us into the world to embody and enact the reality of God's new creation that has already begun. Do you see the honor God has bestowed on us? It began with Jesus bestowing that honor on the apostles behind the locked doors of that upper room when he said, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And Christ Church, God keeps sending you. Rejoice, be obedient, and go where he sends you. A new creation. We get to be a part of that And I can't wait to see it fulfilled when Christ returns in glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.